The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
B-Pod Studios.
.985 the Sports Hub. Your name was Lopez. We are the Touch of Rich radio program. Bert Breer is from the MMQB. He knows all about football and the like. He's in the Volkswagen dealer's expert chair. And
he told me something when he walked in that actually briefly gave me heart palpitations.
Yeah, I was in a tough spot this morning. I couldn't find my laptop. I think I may have left it at the restaurant I took my son to last.
Oh, Jesus.
For some reason,
why did you have it with you?
I'm telling you, there's nothing that like gets me more. I think it's when I'm dealing with my kids' sports and then shuttling them around, it's like I turn in, like my brain turns into
you're on a human treadmill. It's just get me to where I'm going. I'm going. You don't. There's no thinking involved.
So
it's
now like, I'm trying to retrace
my level of agitation. My level of agitation is so high. Like sometimes, like Felger and Maz is like a trigger, and it's nothing that they're saying. It's just their voices.
Yeah.
Because like of that, you know, that you guys know, like that 3.5 mile drive to like take your kids somewhere that takes a half an hour.
You stopped at about 87 lights. Oh yeah.
Yes. Yep. That level of like panicky anxiety agitation just is at an all-time high. So yes, I know. My brain is
it's like
just
anything can happen. Anything can happen in that 3.5 miles.
Oh sure,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, I've missed exits before taking my kids to play because just by, like the stuff I've driven a ton of times just because you're just in this weird ass zone. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you wake up and you can't find your laptop and then you think I may have left it at the restaurant I was at, isn't there something else in your head that thinks of, like you were mentioning, you left it on top of your car, possibly.
That is like, I'm afraid I'm gonna like go to that restaurant. And I'm gonna see it in pieces in the parking lot.
You know what I mean? Right, you're taking your kid out. You put your laptop up there. Right. You're trying to move something out of the back.
Right, because I did do that. Like, I put his cleats on. Like we were in the restaurant parking lot. We got done eating.
Yeah.
And we you have him hanging out of the car to put his cleats on. Yeah. We did that. Like, so I hope I didn't put the laptop on top of the car.
Which you have the cloud.
In Marshfield, yeah.
Yeah, at least you're backed up. And you have a password on your computer, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah, but I could get through that in 10 seconds. So it's just all about seeing what kind of porn you like, Breer.
It's on the cell phone. That's not on the laptop.
Smart man.
Is that a Gary Tangway line?
The work is on laptop, man. Yeah. You check that stuff out. You want to leave it. The porn.
I'm
on
a
the
submissive.
Phone. I got it.
I'm a submissive.
That special Reddit subreddit. Yes.
Good for you. Anything you want to do, I'm game.
All right, Gary Tangway. We appreciate you checking in.
Her name is Lopez.
Yes, I think was that the name of the book? Was her name Lopez? I'm not sure.
Her name was Lopez. She was a hot Latino chick. All ass and boob.
I don't think that's a good way to write.
Like you took ass and boob and put them in a bag and shook it up.
Really?
Sounds like a chapter from
very descriptive. Gary Tangway.
No, there is just
a singular boob.
Just one?
Right. Sure.
Like a unicorn.
Just when we first played the audiobook, it was like her name was Lopez. I just started like just going through the matriculation of Gary's brain. This one appeals to the Hispanic dudes. Her name was Lopez.
What's that?
All right.
I think it was her name.
It was her name.
Oh, it was Suarez.
Suarez. That's right. It was Suarez.
It was somebody. Now,
friend, you were way off.
Now I'm remembering, yeah, but you're right. Somebody's Suarez.
Rocky. Was it Rocky Suarez?
It was Rocky Suarez.
She had a, like the Rocky Mountains, she had a couple of cassava melons laying on her rib cage. that he wrote that book is so, it's an erotic thriller.
Can we do our own play? Can we rent out a playhouse and do a play just of our favorite scenes from the book?
I like that. That's fantastic. A great idea. Yeah. I'll do that.
An adaptation of
you'd have to have Gary adapt it to write.
Sure.
Because you don't want to take the creativity out of his hands. But, I mean, if he could adapt it into play form...
He'd come in here and read. He'd come in here and do it. I guarantee it.
Bird could be the washed-up anchor, which is, I guess, the Gary Tanguy character.
Gary Tanguy. Yeah.
And maybe Nick could be Rocky Suarez because he does have cheeks for weeks.
Yes.
So he reenacted on stage. Nick. I think that would be fantastic.
Nick got that half smile when you said that. He's like, ah, that's real funny. Ah, 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 ah.
Yeah, considering there's no female on this show, Nick's as close as we got.
And then she crapped herself while she was half dead.
Ripped from the headlines.
Bird, you went in on this? We'll schedule it for a Friday.
No, I'm good to go, yeah.
We should do that. We should do a live, you know, like the old, what's the thing they used to do with the radio plays? Yeah. We should do that. We should do like a radio play version, like War of the World.
Dramatic music.
Yeah, Dan said it. Prairie Home Companion.
Yes.
You could do a Ted style where we'll have the sound effects and everything too.
Sure.
We'll make it all homemade. We could do the arm in the fall. Gary
the
Tegra,
arm
book,
in
the radio
fall.
Play.
I like it.
I was sitting at the Super Bowl when Deflategate came out and then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Murder, intrigue, and boning at the Super Bowl.
Lots of boning.
That's the title of your next column. Next February.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, well, we'll have to get on to that. Sometimes our ambitions are very high.
Yeah, I know. That's
I guarantee you Gary would be more than happy to step in and do a lot of this work.
Yeah, the adaptation
is what he fashions himself a director, right?
Yes! Yeah. He's Mr. Showtime now.
He could be the narrator. That's right. And we would give the script to Nick and Bird, and they could be the washed-up sports anchor and Rocky Suarez. And that we could act it out. We could do it live on the air, complete with special effects, homemade special effects.
You couldn't do it live on the air because it would lose. It's got to have that raw language.
That's right. It doesn't have to have the swear words, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of it.
Plus, there's got to be a visual element. Boning.
Somebody said you guys just came up with the next Wilbur show. Instant sellout. Someone said a Gary Home Companion. That's not bad. That is not bad.
Yeah, Suarez. Suarez tied me up. I was submissive, and she took full advantage. There wasn't a toy that she had that didn't explore the inner and outer parts of my body.
Thank you, Gary Tanguy. This is something that may need to happen.
I think it's brilliant.
No. Overture. Overture hit the lights.
All right. So, Gary, I do want to ask Bert.
Let's break.
All right.
And then when we come back, we can start the football. And maybe Bert can help.
No, I was enjoying that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe
touchdown.
Bert can.
Touchdown. Touchdown.
There's something about this mic that just gets me all Gary thinking. It's phallic, that's why. There's a big argument between Joe and Dan Lifshitz.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah. Let's talk to him about that.
Yeah. Bert can.
I think I caught a little of that in the car. I think you got, like, it sounded like they were yelling at each other pretty good.
Yes,
yeah, it was.
And then Dan was steamed the whole rest of the show.
I know. I had to deal with him during the commercial break. It was really something.
Oh, like off the air?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah,
yeah,
off the air, man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dan got, like, mad. He got, like, I think annoyed with me because I wanted him to argue with Joe. All right, but anyway, maybe that's right.
What's that, Gary?
In the new.
Yes, wow. Thank you, Gary.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
They're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're wondering what that eruption of activity from the west of us is, it is the hype video of Kyle Van Noy made about him going to the Chargers is finally landed. You guys see that? He made another hype video.
There was no talking in it, unfortunately. It was just a storm is brewing.
Yeah, at the
a
end, lot of they vibrating had the cloud with the lightning. Like,
yes.
And it just says September. Like, that's right. It's pretty lame. But, I mean, he's a lame person, so there you go. But that's very exciting for the Chargers.
I like Kyle, but I'm in the minority here.
I'm sure he's a great if you're a writer because he won't shut up. But the amount of hubris on that guy to, like, go make a hype video about him coming back to the Patriots.
I just think he's one of these guys who realizes it's, like, all entertainment. And, like, is it a little corny sometimes? Sure. But I think, like, he realizes it's just entertainment.
Or he has an inflated, like, self-worth.
That might be the other side of it.
He realizes it's all entertainment, so he's, like, the Full House of football. There's, you know, it's all entertainment. It doesn't mean it's good. I mean, he's like corny dad jokes. He's like the He's like
Full
the
house
mama's
slander.
Family. He's the mama. Well, yeah, well, I mean, Saget, if he was alive, would sit right where you were sitting right now and tell you how wonderful Full House was.
Oh, he hated it?
No, he liked it, but he didn't think it was like funny.
No,
like he thought it was good for kids, but it's not like he would sit there and tell you it was funny. It's not like his stand up was Full Houseian. Even though he did play guitar and acoustic,
didn't like
guitar.
All the girls, like all the daughters, wound up having like serious like child star problems.
So what's her name? No. Did Jodie Sweetin did, but I don't think Candace Cameron Bure did.
No, the twins did too, didn't they?
No, the Olsens turned out okay.
They did.
They just got very very rich very very quickly.
Candace Cameron is Miss Hallmark Channel movie woman right
okay,
now.
Okay, because Jodie Sweetin was the one that wound
she
up having
She was problem. A mess. Yeah. She was a mess, but she cleaned up. I think all right. I think she's okay now.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she was on Fuller House, but Candace Cameron, you have to remember that, don't forget the Cameron part of her name. Mm-hmm. She's got the Kirk Cameron backing.
I think, you know what, I got the Olsen twins mixed up. This is really a dumb thing to get mixed up. I think I got him mixed up with Macaulay Culkin in my head. Macaulay Culkin was really messed up, right?
Yeah, he just got a little
really.
Bit. It wasn't like he didn't do anything awful. He just became weird. Like,
right. Nothing happened to Macaulay Culkin. His personality, just because he's avant-garde a little. I mean, but he hasn't hurt himself or anybody else.
No, he just became weird. Like, he disappeared and he did that band that was all Velvet Underground covers, except it was all about pizza, the Pizza Underground.
Yes.
It was a band he was in, yes.
But which would be funny because he would go to, like, mainstream outlets and, like, tell them the concept and, like, the person wouldn't laugh and then it was, like, really uncomfortable.
Oh, you were serious, like, that type of thing, yeah.
Are you really going to do this?
Yeah, like, this isn't as funny as you think it is. All right, so yesterday, I'm getting articles sent to me, like, the Patriots didn't take anybody that was in the top 68 of Pro Football Focus's rankings. But a lot of Patriots fans, or I shouldn't say a lot because then people get mad. There's a contingent of Patriots fans, including Dan Lefschetz, that says don't listen to the people that cover the draft because they're ultimately more often wrong than right.
Yeah.
And then also, take the guys that you want. Go ahead.
I'm just going to, I mean, like I want to be clear about this because I think sometimes this gets mixed up. I'm not going on my own opinion of players. I'm going on 2 months of phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm going on what other teams are telling me.
Scouts, and other teams, people.
Yeah, GMs and vice presidents of player personnel and head coaches.
Right,
and
so you're not talking to, like, Kuiper
right.
and McShay. You're talking to, like, guys in personnel departments.
Who make the decisions.
Guys who are making make the decisions.
Which is, by the way, there's still human error, and it is still, like, you know, a human judging another human, but ultimately, the guys Bert is talking to are the ones whose opinions matter with the draft because, as Rich puts it more succinctly than I, it is a competition where it is those personnel departments going up against each other.
And so a huge part of the draft is figuring out who's going to go where so you can get the best combination of players, right?
Yes.
Like, that's a huge part of it. And that doesn't mean, like, a guy who, when you say somebody's a reach, it doesn't mean the guy's not going to be a good player. It means maybe you could have gotten him a little bit lower. If you want to like set this up the right way, okay, would you guys consider Bailey Zappe like a luxury pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so sure. Right? Fourth-round quarterback.
No question.
Fourth-round quarterback. Okay. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, you get Cole Strange in the second round, and then you get Tyquan Thornton with the Bailey Zappe pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, if you're playing the board that way, you've turned the Bailey Zappe pick into a first-round pick. Does that make sense?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And
because
we've been saying this,
I think there's a scenario there where you could have gotten Cole Strange in the second round, and you could have gotten Tyquan Thornton with the Bailey Zappe pick.
What?
So now all of a sudden you've turned a guy who's not going to play into a first-round pick.
Yeah, I said that you paid Maserati prices for a reliable Ford.
Right.
Like, what you did is you could have gotten so much more for your draft capital, but you didn't. And that's the way I look at this
Where'd
draft.
They get Joe Tooney?
I don't remember.
83, I think.
Okay.
It was. Right. Where'd they get Shaq Mason? Fourth round? And it doesn't mean they didn't think that those guys were going to be really good players.
But you could have still gotten them and gotten the corner that Kansas City took.
I think the criticism of the Patriots draft comes with how they read the board. And I think it's easy to tie that back to the amount of institutional knowledge and experience in the league that has left that scouting department over the course of the last 5 years.
Who's the quarterback of the draft? Was it Belichick or was it Rowe? Because you're hearing this now that there's a lot more of a sentiment that he was the guy calling the shots. I've heard some Patricia in there as well. What are you hearing?
Well, I don't think there were as many people involved as there were last year.
Okay.
Like, and I know one of the things that Dave Ziegler did, and, you know, kind of helping to, and Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh were part of this last year, in trying to revamp what they did from a scouting perspective was have more conventional draft meetings.
Yeah.
Like, in the past, the circle had been so small that they didn't really have the sorts of draft meetings that other teams have. Mm. And Elliot Wolf came from the outside, coming from, like, the you know, his dad's tree, the Ron Wolf tree, working for, you know, Ted Thompson in Green Bay, where, like, the scouts see everything and the scouts are involved and they're watching tape with the general manager and the head coach. My understanding is in 21, like last year, there was a lot more of that. Like, the scouts were watching tape with Bill more often.
Now, that was new, right?
And that was new.
Okay.
That was, so you, there was a little bit more of that. I think there was less of that this year, as far as I can tell. There was less of that this year, and I think maybe there was a little bit more. It sounds at least like maybe closed ranks a little bit more.
Okay.
Going back to the way it was before. Now, to be fair, part of that is you lost some people, right? Like, you lost Dave Ziegler. You lost Josh McDaniels. You have some new people coming in. And so I can sort of understand that. But, like, you look at last year's draft, and there's a huge part of me that looks at it and says, wouldn't you want to build on that?
Yeah.
And they went, like, almost diametrically opposed. Like, all right, like, last year, like, where were they drafting from last year? Alabama, Oklahoma, Michigan, right? Like, those are the five I can think of off the top of my head.
And now look where they're going.
Mac Jones from Alabama.
Chattanooga.
Yeah, I mean, Mac Jones from Alabama, Christian Barmore from Alabama, Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma, Ramondre Stevenson from
Oklahoma. Tested players who have been through the
gauntlet. Cam McGrone from Michigan.
Yeah. This year we're going FCS.
Blue chip, guys with a blue chip pedigree from blue blood programs. And, like, now it feels like doesn't it? It just feels like this is like a we're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, they're trying to outsmart the market. Now does this have who does it have the fingerprints of, though? Is this a Matt Patricia thing? Because I've heard a lot of people putting it on the shoulders of Matt Rowe. You're talking about him as well.
Yeah, and I can say is don't take what I'm saying to mean Bill isn't working as I think Bill work. I think Bill's working more, if anything, this year than he has in the past. Like, I think he, from what I understand, he really did grind through draft season and everything else. The setup's a little bit different, and the number of people who had input is a little bit different. And yeah, I mean, I think that there's, I'll just put it this way, knowing enough people who used to work here that don't work here anymore, that were confused by what they were doing. That didn't really get what they were doing. That didn't really, I guess, see what the logic in the way that they operated over the 3 days of the draft was mind blowing. And again, like I think that makes you think
it wasn't Bill's call.
I just think you have to look at like how they read the board, and that's the biggest thing. Like, that's my biggest takeaway is like it just doesn't look like they read the board correctly, you know. And
could they have gotten Strange?
Yeah,
with their second pick.
Yes.
All right,
I think so. I mean, like,
okay.
And here's
there's a lot of people that say that he did, well, if you look at Vegas, well, is what Lipschitz was saying.
Well, Vegas is throw what Vegas says out, because I can't stand those narratives. Those narratives are all based on what people like me and like a lot of other people in the media write and say and how money moves. There's no one with teams going and telling Vegas who anybody's taking, so enough with that.
Yeah.
Like DraftKings, FanDuel, they don't know crap, all right? Like, they're going based on trends.
They're going and where money's going. Sure,
right,
I get
right.
that. Yeah.
Like, there's not...
It just needs to be said. I'm just clearing up dirty laundry.
Here's what I would say, though, about, like, that. Like, I just think that, like, you look at, like... Like, what was the question again?
Well, it's strange.
You've gotten Strange in round two.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So here's the perfect example. The perfect example of, like, where I think they were... And where I think they messed up on Thursday night, Friday night, they were worried about Tampa. Tampa had traded down out of the 27th pick to 33, right? Because the Jags came up to get Devin Lloyd. They're sitting at 33. I think Tampa's one of the teams that they were worried about taking Cole Strange, because Tampa lost their two starting guards from last year, Ali Marpet and Alex Kappa. They brought in Shaq Mason, but there's still one open spot there. My understanding is Cole Strange would not have been a consideration for Tampa at 33. He might have been at 60. And so when you look at all these teams and people are putting two and two together and saying, well, this team had him in for a visit and they have the 38th pick. Well, because they had him in for a visit doesn't mean they were considering him in the second round.
At that spot, right.
They could have been considering him in the third round. And it sounds to me, based on all of the background work that I've done, that this guy was likely to go in the third round and may have slipped into the bottom of the second round, but I don't think very many teams had him at the top.
Listen to Sean McVay.
So I got the one that's even more egregious, I think, based on just what I hear, but you can clear this up, is the kid from Baylor, because
Tyquan Thornton.
That's a name we'll never have to know. But once he got taken, there was that run on blue chip receivers. Yeah. So he would have been around way later than that, don't you think?
And that's where my point's coming. Like, again, like if you get Strange with the Thornton pick, and you get Thornton with the Zappe pick, now you've turned the Zappe pick into a first rounder, and that's how the draft works.
And you know
what
corner.
I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Right.
Like
yeah.
now you've got the two players you wanted, probably in more proper position, and you've got your first round pick. You're playing with a first round pick now instead of a fourth round pick. That's like. That is like the art of the draft.
I'd heard this story, and I heard you mention it off the air, but you know, after you had that video of Sean McVay go viral where they're laughing about the Strange pick, and they're like, wow, we
could have gotten him at 104.
Could have gotten him at 104. About, yeah. What did you hear happened after that?
Oh, my insight into like what happened with the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sean was giving Les Snead crap. Like, that's like that was what I understand it to be, was he was like, my God, you made me watch this guy, like, and now he's going like 70 picks before we were picking.
Okay, but he worships Bill Belichick. I know that he loves Bill Belichick, and he's got to know that when that goes viral, that's not something that you want the guy that you respect. Because it looks like he's mocking him.
Yeah, and I think they've talked, and I think that's all fine now, yeah.
Okay, so so he's reached out.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Well, that's, you know,
you gotta reach out.
Yes, you do.
Reach out. I'll be there. All right, well, good. So that clears it. You were hearing that Tampa didn't want Strange, which is a big rumor, and then
I'm not saying they didn't want him. I'm saying they didn't want him at 33, right?
Yeah,
they didn't
want him at 33. That the Patriots could have gotten him with their second pick.
Right.
That's the bottom line. They
wound up with that guy McDuffie at 21. That would have been a grand slam. That would have been a great draft right there.
Think about that. Think if they would have drafted him and then would have gotten Strange with his second pick.
Got your starting guard in the second round and then gotten that burner in the fourth where he belongs.
Great draft.
Fantastic.
That's a great draft.
And that's like, and honestly, like to me, like that's the cool thing about the draft is trying to figure out who's going where and how the puzzle pieces fit together, because there's more variance in how teams see these players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can like look at the Cowboys draft board if you want. It's on the internet now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. By the way,
were you able to focus in on that?
We were talking about that last week about how the Jerry Jones like held up their draft board, and like his son was like, "Put that away. You should." I guess the Athletic did, like we were saying,
they did, like they optimized it. I don't know how they did it, because if you look at like the screenshots of it, it just looked like you can't make anything.
Someone was there. Someone had to be there, and like with their own, not with the videos that we've seen, taking a picture.
I thought
it was their offensive line, but it was actually the whole draft.
It was the whole draft, and I guess the Giants picked the Cowboys number one and number two on their list.
So the great thing is, like, one of the rumors I'd heard before the draft actually wrote this was the Cowboys are considering a trade up if Kayvon Thibodeau starts to fall. And lo and behold, Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one player on their board.
Read me the board. Board.
I'll pull it up.
Well, the Giants got number one and number two on their list.
Fifth and seventh.
Evan Neal.
Right?
Yeah.
So I mean, somebody did exactly what we were saying and blew it up and took a look at who they had ranked. Where was Cole Strange on there?
This is going to take me another second.
I would imagine he's not on that limited list.
This is going to take me just a second.
Not
I have my laptop.
There.
Oh yeah. If you didn't hear the clip, it's
let me
here.
Put it like this: we have both of them. Was printed 3 days
ago. I like
ago,
how you can hear
him.
The paper coming out.
Both of those players are below it.
Yeah, notice the cameras. Are quick! Take a picture.
I'm not going to show him that.
All right.
Don't show him that. Don't show him that.
If you're interested,
yes.
Fred, Kayvon Thibodeau, number one. Evan Neal, number two. Aiden Hutchinson, number three. Garrett Wilson, number four. Sauce Gardner, number five. Derek Stingley, number six. Trevon Walker, number seven.
Ooh.
Kyle Hamilton, number eight. Ikem Ekwonu, number nine. Drake London, number 10. There is no Cole Strange to speak of here.
Okay, come on.
Oh, well, wait, was one of those... Okay, Lockhart just said it to me. Was one of those the kid from Florida State, the lineman from Florida State?
Jermaine Johnson is 28th on this list.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing. That's fairly long list.
But like, I mean, they have 30... The one I'm looking at least has 34 names here. They had all their first and second round grades, which is another part of it. Like, most teams, the draft board is smaller than the draft itself, so it's like... Yeah. You'll have like maybe 18 guys with first round grades and 16 guys with second round grades, because there'll be guys that are off your board for medical, or there'll be guys that are off your board for off field or whatever it is. Yes. And that's the art of this, though, is that every team has a different, like, if you went into like four different teams' draft rooms, you would see like huge variances. Now, in years where there are like the high end blue chip guy, like a Myles Garrett, like, yeah, like that guy's not going to wind up like 15th on somebody's list.
But there's needs.
Once you get past that first group, usually there's like a wide amount of variance from team to team based on, again, medical, off field, scheme fit, all that different stuff. Mm-hmm. And so part of the art of the draft is figuring out not just like what you think of a player, how a player fits for you, but also like how other teams see it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't wind up taking a player way before you have to, when you could take another good player and then come back and get the player that maybe you had highest on your board later on.
Well, that's what the false narrative of like outsmarting it. Well, when it's like a collective thing, you know, you're only outsmarting yourself. But wow, that's crazy that crazy old man held that thing up.
I'm telling you, like, I think it's like at the point now, like he is like, I think we said this last week, right, Fred? Like the like your grandfather who farts at the dinner table and it's awkward for everybody except him.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting like an accident and everything now. Like, I have a feeling the clock's ticking on this guy.
When we get back, Fred, I want to ask you about the Patriots drafting Jack Jones, especially when he's got all of the track record that he's got of busting into the Panda Express and everything
guy
else.
Like, sixth round then, grade. They went in the fourth round.
That's not even what I care about.
Mongolian beef will do strange things to him.
I care about the off the field stuff that he was involved in and the Patriots' decision to still draft this guy. I want to know a little more background about what makes Jack Jones tick and how you think he's going to fare as a Patriot.
Okay. All right, let's figure all that out. Coming up, here are the headlines.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we got you set up for Poonfest. Now it's time to double down for a night on the town. Be listening at 7:55 this morning for your chance to score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning 2 Forbes Travel Guide 5-star awards. Is this like Accept?
This song?
Yeah.
Yeah, this. Oh, yeah, this is Metallica.
It's got some Accept vibe. Bring me the little shaved head guy.
You got your balls to the wow.
Udo Dirk Schneider, I think his name was.
You got that right.
Mm-hmm.
Encore is proud to be part of Titletown Encore Boston Harbor, a Forbes Travel Guide 5-star award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest rated steakhouse in Boston. All right, so Rich, you have a question for Bert.
So, okay. I didn't realize this was him because I remember this story from a couple of years ago about the USC player who was found breaking inside of a Panda Express at 3 in the morning, and I didn't realize.
I guess the story was that the getaway driver fled, and then like him and his buddy were stuck in the Panda Express when the cops showed up or something.
Yeah,
like.
That's a little strange. On top of that, he was also dismissed by USC because of...
Well, so like the timeline, if I remember right, was... He got thrown out of USC for academic reasons, and then he told the LA Times like the next day it was God's plan, and then 2 days after that he's in the Panda Express.
Okay, so I have just a quick encapsulation of what happened. It said the police state that Jones and Curry, a guy he was with, were found inside the Panda Express. Marks was in a car and fled the scene, leading officers on a chase for a couple blocks before curbing the vehicle and being apprehended. Jones, it says, that was inside the restaurant when they found him there, and I guess that he was arrested for all of that. So, all right, this is somebody who obviously has had multiple things, like questionable things happen, yet the Patriots...
And not only that, like he got like suspended from Arizona State's team for a year.
Yeah, so because he hit a teammate, right?
Yeah, for fighting with a teammate, yeah.
Okay, so he's had multiple different red flags if you're somebody who is...
Right.
You know, drafting these guys. I'm sure there's some teams who, you know, might want to stay away from
him. He was off the board of a lot of teams.
So he was off the board.
He was off the board of a lot of teams.
Yeah. Why are the Patriots taking a chance on him when they have a track record of bringing in guys with questionable records that end up backfiring on them?
Because there's talent to work with there. And you figure, I think this is, on day three, that's when teams take risks. Where it's like, all right, like there's some talent there. There's something to work with. And if we've got to cut him in August... it's not like that big a deal.
Is he that talented to where it's worth taking a risk on
like,
him?
He's one of these guys who was like a five-star recruit coming out of high school, but never really played to that level. So is there some talent and ability there? Yeah, I'm sure there is. But he never lived up to kind of what his billing was coming out of high school.
Now, was there a redemption at some point? Because
I'm not positive about that. But like, he did get through this year and played this year, and I think by all accounts, like, was, you know, a good teammate and everything else with Arizona State in 2021. Now, I think your question in those sorts of situations is always, did this guy just realize, I got to get my act together for, you know, a year, and if I can do that, I can get into the league.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you give him some money, and you wonder what's going to happen next.
That's always the question.
Always the question.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that it's a need position. It's a worthwhile risk where you take the risk. You know, the one thing that's weird about it to me, though, is, like you hear the stuff about them and McDuffie, and the issue with McDuffie was that he was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Both the corners they took are short.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, very short.
So, like, there's all this logic that's getting put out there that I feel like is just refuted by their actions in other places, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that taking multiple corners was the right move. Like, this sort of dice roll at that point of the draft, I don't mind it at all. There's obviously some talent and ability to work with there that hasn't been mined yet. And if it doesn't work out, look, you know, it's a fourth-round pick, and this is where teams generally start to gamble.
Well, what about a guy like Tyquan Thornton? Because with Tyquan Thornton, you know, we've joked about the fact that he's, like, super fast going in one direction, but the three-cone drill and stuff, he's awful.
Yeah.
He can't make turns.
I think Tom Curran called him a human funny car.
Yeah, that's a great description.
That's very good.
Which is fantastic.
Hell yeah, funny car.
Yeah, but the one thing that I find interesting about him is he's also, I think, the lightest wide receiver that Bill Belichick has ever drafted.
Yeah.
How easy is it going to be to just rough this guy up on the line and make it so, you know, as fast as he is?
And that's usually like the biggest thing going from the college to the pros with receivers is, like, they're not getting pressed at the line the same way in college as they do as they will in the pros.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a real question. I think part of it is trying to match up guys with what Mac Jones did well at Alabama. And if you, like, look at, like, the guys that he played with at Alabama, like, the short period he played as a redshirt sophomore, and then obviously the great year he had as a junior there, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, all these guys who can get downfield.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't mind the logic of that, like, where it's, like, if we can put him and Nelson Aguilar out there, and now we can threaten teams downfield, and we can take advantage of Mac Jones's downfield accuracy because he does have that, that'll open some things up underneath. Like, that makes some sense to me, because I do think, like, the type of receiver, as much as we've, like, tried to compare him to Brady and everything else, yeah, I do think, like, if you look at, like, when Mac Jones was at his most successful in college,
mm-hmm.
it was with a lot of downfield guys around him. It was with guys who could, like, you know, score, you know, and score in 6 seconds.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Now, what's this mean for N'Keal Harry? What are you hearing?
We still talking about him?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's still sitting there. And I
guess he's still a good run blocker, right?
does he make it to camp? Do they get rid of him
because he hasn't even shown up?
If anybody wants to be innovative and run the wishbone, hey, N'Keal Harry's your guy.
I just love, if all the guys that should have shown up, I mean, he's like the one that's like, isn't he like tweeting and not like reporting to camp?
I mean, it's like weird. Like, I always think it's weird when you get trade demands from guys who are like,
not good.
And then decide, okay.
And then it's like he demanded a trade last summer. It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then, like, now it's like he's not sure. It just doesn't make any sense.
You're lousy. You were first round picked. It's a mammoth bust. Your work habits suck. What team would want him?
I don't know who's advising him to, like, put
him loose. I
don't know who's putting him out.
Possible.
Did you guys watch the hype video?
No.
No.
Oh, he put out like a hype video.
N'Keal Harry did?
Yeah.
Like recently?
Of him, like, all his
highlights? Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it's not even playing. It's just working out.
It's not even impressive. It's like he looks like sort of slow. Like,
well, he is. Like,
what are you doing, dude?
Well, I mean, it's because, well, there's truth in the video. On top of that, I guarantee you there's not much actually done gameplay that he put on there.
Honestly, like, maybe that's the generational divide, you know, but, like, you can just send your workout tapes to the teams.
Or how about if these guys
teams,
know.
If these teams already
chicks aren't going to see
if
it
these
that
teams
way.
Already think you're kind of an a-hole, yeah. And now you're going on Twitter and tweeting out hype videos of yourself. I don't know if that's really helping you much.
But listen, you're going to put out, if no one else is going to put his
see
top
if you can
five
find
blocks.
It. I'm serious. Like, he does not look great in the hype video.
It's his top five blocks of week 15.
It's like, yeah, yikes. Like, that's the best stuff you got from the workouts.
All right. Just excuse me for 1 second, Fred, because I'm going to speak extremely vague because I need to speak vague. And if this is going to be something that nobody understands, then I totally get it, including the person I'm about to ask. Have you seen the blind item?
No.
The one that's been going around the last 2 days?
No.
The blind item that involves a local team?
No.
I can't ask you about it then.
Ah.
Fred, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right.
Well, you can say what the blind item is.
It's got to be kind of raunchy.
No, because it's like, this is something that I don't even feel comfortable reading the blind item because it names
names.
We get
in trouble?
Yeah. Yeah, this is one that it's irresponsible.
So it's about ownership.
Maybe.
Yeah, so it's about ownership.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay.
There's a pretty big blind item that's out there right now, which I just wanted to see if you had
heard. Where'd you read it?
So there is a fairly reputable website that people...
Ball Sack Sports?
Not Ball Sack Sports, which is definitely reputable. I mean, it's been quoted by Stephen A. Smith. No, and I'll get the name of it, but it's one that a lot of people, like the things that are posted on here eventually come true. And it involved the reason that a certain player might have been traded from a local team.
Oh.
So the Patriots are the team, obviously. Because he's asking Bert. And then he's afraid of us getting in trouble, so it's got to be involve ownership.
Who was traded recently?
So I'm going to guess that there's a rumor that they traded a player because he was sleeping with someone.
Oh. Sounds like another Tangway novel. What's going on here?
Where's Rocky Suarez on the case? Am I barking up the right tree here?
I think that a quick Google search will find it. I mean, it was everywhere yesterday. Yeah, but, and I got sent it by
personally,
public.
I don't have my laptop.
I got what sent it by Google? People in the media, like, too. Like, hey, you might want to take a look at this. And once again, it's a blind item. It has not been justified. There's been no kind of sources. And to be honest, it's not something I would feel comfortable talking about.
How do I search it?
Oh, just, I mean, Fred, come on. Literally, Google half the crap that you just talked about.
This is great radio, right? Everybody.
As I said, I apologized in advance. But it's, yeah.
Well, so, now I got to know. All right, I'm having trouble.
I will have you just read the quick blind item.
All right.
Just look at the top of it. Don't show it on Twitch.
Oh, that'd be on Twitch? Oh, wow. No, I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
I hadn't heard that.
All right. Just wanted to see.
That's an interesting rumor, though.
Okay. Mm. But I was sent it by, I don't know, maybe a half dozen people yesterday, including two people in the media.
That's interesting.
What form of media?
Print?
Really?
Yes.
All right. Old-fashioned print or...
the old fish wrap.
Yep.
All right.
It would definitely be... I mean, I'll just put it this way, Fred. It would definitely... It would be a nice plot for our play that we're going to put on.
You could throw that into the Gary Tangway play, yes.
Sometimes life should do imitate art.
So there you go, Fred. Sorry for being so vague, but happy
that's
exploring.
Fine. Just text me what it is.
I will. I'll text it to you.
I will. Thank you. And I will not read it on the air. Caller number 5 right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning 2 Forbes Travel Guide 5-star awards. Encore is proud to be part of Titletown. Encore Boston Harbor, Forbes Travel Guide 5-star award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest-rated steakhouse in Boston. Thank you, Bert Breer. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks,
all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.